My name is Helen Hobdesven.
Tell me about your involvement with Alzheimer's disease. Why did you become involved with this whole effort to begin with?
Well, interestingly enough, when I was in graduate school, the disease I studied for physiology was Alzheimer's, not knowing that years later that I would have a husband who would be afflicted with the disease. And I became involved with Alzheimer's really because of my husband. I met my husband jogging. I used to jog with a friend, and we met on the track because he used to kind of spur us both on to go faster and faster. It is a second marriage, and we have been married almost 20 years. The first symptoms were those that you expect with aging: misplacing your keys, not remembering a name. But I first became suspicious that there was more going on when I would wait for him in a restaurant and he wouldn't show up and he would go home. And that really was a big flag. He did have Lyme's disease in the mid-90s. And the rheumatologist said to me, "You know, Helen, he hasn't bounced back as fast as we'd hoped. Maybe there's something else going on."
Now, did you and Arne have children together, or did you both already have children?
We both had children. Arne has 3, and I have 3, and the youngest was 12. So she was really raised in our home. And of all the children, because she was 12 when we married, probably is closer to him because when he retired, she was younger. So she had more time with him than the older children. His children range in age from 48 to 45, and my children range in age from 41 to 33. So we have a blended family.
How old was he when you first started to notice symptoms?
He was in his early 70s. I remember that he would take a business trip and come home. He never took his keys, but he forgot where the key was. And he did that a couple of years in a row in the early 90s. So at that time, he would have been even younger. He would have been in his 60s. I didn't really think anything about it at all. Also, he is a gentle gentleman. And he lost his temper at a clerical person once and at a law associate once, both being totally out of character for him.
So then things started to deteriorate more.
He would go to the doctor and drive, call and not know where he was, but not tell me where he was. And I'm a person who would prefer to confront something and cope with it than sweep it under the rug. And so together we were able to learn and to accept the path that lay before us. Arne made all his own decisions. He knew where he wanted to go when he couldn't stay at home. He knew what he wanted as far as end-of-life decisions. And he articulated them. And it's a huge difference when you confront it together to make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. And when everything was done legally, he looked at me and said, "Now let's just forget I have Alzheimer's and let's just have fun." Well, that's great for him, but that's not so great for a family.
It must have taken kind of a load off your mind, though, that all of these legal matters were taken care of prior to his deterioration.
Yes, I feel very fortunate, especially as I meet other people who walk this path who don't know what their husbands or their loved one would want. It's very easy to talk about it and put it on a piece of paper, but executing it is very different. Even when they tell you, because the emotion is there, but that's not on paper. He has a pacemaker, and he used to joke, could he have a used battery when that ran out? And recently the battery ran out, but he was quite clear. And with Dr. Liketsis' support, we did not put in another battery. Everyone's first inclination is to treat someone, but he really doesn't know.
Tell me about the reactions of your friends, both when Arne started to manifest symptoms and also the decisions that you had to make and how they reacted to those.
We told his children first, then we told my children, then we told his brother and immediate family, and then we told our very closest friends. And then we didn't care if the rest of the people learned. Arne didn't want anybody to know he had Alzheimer's, but it's much easier when people know than wondering about you. Because I appeared to everybody to be very bossy. We had been out at a birthday party with friends several months before we had told friends. Well, we had not yet told the children. And this friend said to me, "Why don't you just let Arne do what he wants?" And I had known her probably for more than 30 years. And I leaned across the table and I said, "Arne has Alzheimer's." Because she was very confrontational in a large group, and it was very inappropriate for her to blow up like this. And she looked up with total disbelief, as if this had never crossed her mind. While other people had said to me, "Does Arne have Alzheimer's?" And I would say no, because we hadn't told the children. And one friend said to me later, "You lied." And I said, "Yes, I did. And I hope you understand why. Arne did not want to tell you yet. And so I had to lie." Went to a golf dinner party. A couple of my friends, because they separated the husbands and wives, one of my friends said, "I'll sit at Arne's table, good or bad, and I'll sit next to him. But we want to do what we've always done." And so I said, "Fine." I didn't have to worry because she understood. So people have varying degrees, but men particularly are so fearful it's going to happen to them. And they often say down the road, "Well, I just can't visit him anymore. I just can't watch this." You don't say it, but what you want to say is, "Well, if you can't come and visit and help make my world a little better and make his world a little bit better, how do you think it is for us living with this 24/7? One neighbor whose husband had died from complications of Alzheimer's pushed me on a walk on the beach once, and I finally looked at her in utter frustration and I said, "Yes, he does have Alzheimer's." And she said, "I've known a long time," because she'd lived with it. And her husband had been a minister, and she'd sat in that congregation watching him give a sermon on Sundays that she helped write the night before, so fearful that the world would come tumbling down in the middle of a service. So you become very conscious of it if you walk that path, and it's so private, and people shy away when you tell them. They don't know what to do. The isolation to, first of all, the Alzheimer's patient, as he begins this path and is aware, is so very hurtful. And to the spouse, as time goes on, to see the friendships who decide they have to move on with their lives. They don't have time to bother with this. So you have to start with the premise that everyone will disappoint you. So when that one person says, "I want to come, what can I do? Can I ride up with you for the day and visit, and I'll take a book, and if you stay longer, I'll go read a book, and then at least you won't have to ride home alone." Those are the things that really stick in your heart with people who do that.
It must be tough for you to find what I'm going to call forgiveness for people when they are rude or inconsiderate or really just allow their fears to take over.
I don't think it's forgiveness. I think you realize they don't get it. And as the disease progresses, it's harder and harder to keep quiet. I don't want to talk about Arne when I go out. I want to have fun. And if his condition changes, I will tell people. They know he's at basically end stage, which could take months. "Do you want me to come to your party and spend my evening talking about Arne? You don't want that at your party, but what fun is that for me to come and have a social evening and everything is doom and gloom? I want to come and be me at your party." So my pat answer is Arne is safe and Arne is happy. And that is true in his world. But don't push me to fill in the gaps that he's incontinent or that he doesn't speak or his behaviors are inappropriate. Don't push me there. This is my night out too. And go and visit your friend because it helps the spouse. I can't imagine what it's like, but you need company. So go for your friend. You're blessed. You don't walk this path. You may walk some path, but if you're a friend, stay a friend. If you were my friend and you did something that I totally disagreed with and you went to jail, I don't have to approve of what you do. But if you're my friend, I don't turn my back on you. Maybe I come on visiting day. Maybe I send you packages. Maybe I write you letters. But if I walk away from you, I'm not a friend. Because a friendship is not based on do what I approve of, and I will be your friend.